Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. I thank you for joining me today, and I pray that at this busy time of year, as we are drawing close to celebrating Christmas, that you're experiencing the peace of God and the joy and the love and all that God has provided for us as His children. And what I thought I would do today, and perhaps tomorrow, we want to look at the meaning of Christmas. And for each one of us, there are generally some fairly strong emotional memories that we have of Christmas. You may have come from a wonderful Christian home, and you can think of all the wonderful times the family would gather together. There'd be relatives you hadn't seen for a while, and of course there would be feasting, and there would be gift giving, and just a time of wonderful fellowship. For others, perhaps it was not as joyful. It could have been a time of being alone, a time of a breakup in the family, a time where there wasn't the sort of festivities and the joys that are associated with this most wonderful of holidays. I've always loved Christmas. I remember as a child, I was 7 or 8, and I was always fascinated with the manger scene. I would play with that for hours on end, and then there was a little, it was plastic, it was a church that you could wind up, and it would play music, but also it would be lighted up, and it was underneath the Christmas tree. And so those are some fond memories I have of that time. And I can remember also going to evening services, midnight services, where the choir would sing, "O Holy Night." And I wasn't saved then. I mean, I knew about the Lord, but each of us treasures some wonderful memories. Or perhaps I can remember before I was saved, and I was traveling around, and I spent Christmas alone. So all of us have various experiences, but as Christians, what Christmas should mean to us, that it was an invitation by God for us to join His family. We are His children, John 3:16. As spiritual creatures, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever would believe on Him would have everlasting life. And of course, as natural creatures of flesh and blood, we have enjoyed the things that even the world celebrates Christmas. They're not acknowledging Christ, but cities are decorated with all kinds of lights and tinsel, and the people send gifts to one another, and they send Christmas cards. And so it's just a time of reflection on and a stepping back from the duties of natural life, if you will. But those do, you know, Romans 14:23 says, "Whatsoever is not of faith is sin." So for those not celebrating, that if they have rejected Jesus. Now, I realize He was not born most probably on December 25th, but the fact is we're celebrating the fact that He was born. And the scripture tells us we have been called unto liberty, only Paul advises us don't use that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So regardless of your personal opinions or feelings about this time of year, it is a time when even the world plays Christmas songs, which would celebrate Christ, at least the traditional hymns do. And so what I'd like to do is just to take a little bit of time to perhaps understand what Christmas meant to Jesus. Well, we'll look at a scripture found in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, verse 6. And it says, "Who being in the form of God, did not reckon equality with God as something to be forcibly retained." He was the Word made flesh. He was God incarnate. He didn't look upon equality with God as above all things to be clung to, but what did he do? He made himself of no reputation. He impoverished himself, if you will. He laid his glory aside. He stripped himself of the majesty and the preeminence that he had in the heavenly realms and all of its privileges and the rightful dignity that he possessed. And he took upon himself the form of a servant. He agreed, he consented to take upon the nature of a slave. Remember, even at the Last Supper, Jesus was saying that he took upon himself one of the lowliest tasks of washing the feet of his disciples. He consented to take the very attributes of a servant. He said that. He became like us. He became like a human being. He was born like other men, born in human disguise, if you will, although he was very man and very God. We may not be able to understand that with our natural minds, but we accept it as truth. He appeared in human form. He was abased. He was humbled. He humiliated himself and showed obedience even unto death, going so far as to actually die a criminal's death on the cross. So what we're talking about is, what did it mean to Jesus? Well, he had to leave his heavenly estate. Isn't that right? So the first thing, there's five things that I'd like to share with you. He, first of all, became subject to human limitations, including death. He came down from his glory. There's that song that my husband used to sing in such a wonderful way, "Down from his glory, ever living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Born in a manger, to his own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony." And secondly, he became subject to our physical limitations, and he endured the contradiction of sinners against himself. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, "Give thought to him. Compare your experiences with his. Take your standard from him who endured such hostility against him by sinners, such grievous opposition and bitter hostility, lest we get tired and give up or lose our purpose and courage." There were times Jesus, sometimes he never sinned, but that you can relate to his humanity, the word that is shared in Mark, the 9th chapter, verse 19, when he says, "How long shall I suffer you, bear with you, endure, put up with you, bring the boy to me?" And of course, this is the very nature of our God. He loves to be able to express the compassion of the Heavenly Father. And that brings us to the third point, that he was subject to the will of the Father. Psalm 40 and 8 says, "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." Hebrews 5 and 8 says, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." Also, he walked in faith. Hebrews 12 and 2 says, "Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Psalm 45 and 7 says, "Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." And of course, Isaiah 53:3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. So he became subject to human limitations. He endured the contradiction of sinners against us, against him, rather. He was subject to the will of the Father. He walked in faith. And finally, his identification, he became one with us that we might become one with him. Hebrews 2:9-10 says that he tasted the experiences that we go through. That verse says, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And Hebrews 4:15 says, for we have not a high priest who cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace. And what is the effect that we can have of this? What's the result? It's assurance of love and understanding. Praise God. There's a passage that may be hard to understand in Ecclesiastes 7:1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Well, that was certainly true for Jesus, because he ascended to his Father and was celebrated. All of heaven rejoiced, and of course we can rejoice that he was willing to pay that ultimate price, that we could become a part of his family. We could spend eternity with him, because our spirit man is eternal, and we have the ability to choose where we want to spend eternity. Thank God for the sacrifice, for the birth of Jesus, and for his ultimate sacrifice on the cross, that we could be reunited with our Father in heaven. Praise God. Well, my time's flown, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. I thank you for joining me. The announcer will give our contact information if you have prayer needs, if you're going through a difficult time. At this time of festivity and celebrations and parties and all the things that are occurring, I invite you to write and share those prayer needs. Until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.